Hello and welcome to Microsoft Virtual Academy. My name is Aydın Aslaner. I'm a senior premier field engineer with Microsoft Global Business Support. This course is about Windows Server 2012 Direct Access. Let's take a look at Direct Access a little bit in detail and understand what it is and how we can use it. So, what is Direct Access? Direct access is the capability to have simultaneous corporate network access and internet access at the same time, which means if a user's machine is connected to the internet, it will get connectivity to the corporate network at the same time. The other capability about direct access is to give the IT admins the ability to remote manage the client wherever it is. As long as the machine is connected to the internet, we can manage the client as if it was within our corporate network. And this whole communication is based on IPv6 and secured by IPsec. Let's understand the components that are involved here a little bit more. On the left-hand side, what you can see is a typical corporate network. And we have a direct access server just at the edge of our network. And then on the right-hand side, we have the internet with some clients. You will notice that there is an IPsec/IPv6 node on the slide because this whole communication is again based on IPv6 and secured by IPsec. Now, because our internet is based on IPv4, we are still tunneling over IPv4 our IPv6 packets. This whole communication will be routed to our internal resources through the direct access server. So that means our direct access server is typically acting as a router for us. And on top of all this, we can implement network access protection to check the compliance of the clients depending on the policies that we have defined as IT admins. Now that we have seen a brief overview, let's understand the technology and the components that are involved in detail before we go over to a short demo. Now, this is a typical network again. On the right-hand side, we have Contoso, and then on the left-hand side, we have our direct access enabled client. And I'll talk about the details later on, but just let's just get a brief overview about what is happening here. So the way this works is, in wherever the client is getting an internet connectivity, the first thing it will do is try to find the IPv6 capable direct access server. Again, this whole communication is based on IPv6, but we're tunneling over IPv4, which means we're using some sort of transition technology, and I'll talk about the details later on, either IP-HTTPS, Teredo, or 64 to communicate over the IPv4 internet. This is very typical to the IPv4 DHCP procedure where a client tries to locate a DHCP server in order to obtain an IP address. The same procedure exists in IPv6 in a similar way, where the client will send an IPv6 router solicitation message to request from the DHCP server the prefix for IPv6 communication. Secondly, the direct access server will then answer with a so-called IPv6 router advertisement by providing the client the IPv6 address. And again, I will talk about details later on, but this is the basic procedure around this. After the client is getting its IP address, what it will do is IPsec. And this is based on auth IP, authenticate IP, and it establishes an IPsec tunnel between the client and the server. After this, the client will try to access some internal resource. In our example here, we have a server called Server 1 within our corporate network, and we're trying to resolve the name server1.corp.contoso.com. Now, you might notice that there is something called name resolution policy table on this line. I'll talk about the details of this later on, but basically, this is a list where you have a namespace matching a DNS server address, and you might notice that this is an IPv6 address, which means whenever we query something with a specific namespace, this request will go to that specific DNS server instead of the one from our ISP, which gives us the capability to access the internet. So in this case, because we're trying to access server1.corp.contoso.com, this namespace is matching in our table. We're sending it to our internal DNS server. So we send this DNS query over the secured IPsec communication to the direct access server. The direct access server will terminate IPsec at that point and will forward to the internal DNS server this query. In this case, what will happen is that the server, our DNS server, will reply with the QUAT4 IPv6 address for server1.corp.contoso.com. This direct access server takes this reply and passes over to the DA client over the IPsec tunnel. Now that the client knows the IPv6 address of that resource which is trying to connect to, it will again authenticate over IPsec to the server one and establish an IPsec communication between those endpoints and establish something called security associations, and we'll talk about them later in detail. Now that we have established a secure communication between the client on the internet and our direct access server, the client is able to browse the content of the internal server through direct access. Now that we have seen also the overview how direct access works, let's list a couple of the benefits of the direct access technology. From a productivity part, direct access is always on technology, which means whenever the client gets an internet connection, it will be able to communicate with the direct access server without any delay. There is no explicit user action required, which means there is no installation file, there is no file that the user has to run, there is nothing on the client that gets installed as a software. Everything is managed by group policy, and we'll share details shortly. And the end user's experience is pretty much the same as if they were within the corporate network physically. It is a secure communication based on IPsec, and you can implement network access protection on top of it to assess the client's health based on the requirements that you have. From a manageability perspective, it adds great value for the IT admin, because we are now able to manage the client wherever it is without having them to physically to come to the corporate network. So let's take a look at a simple direct access demo and understand what are the components involved to deploy this technology in a simple way. Windows Server 2012 direct access does not require IPv6 deployment or a PKI infrastructure to deploy simplified direct access. In this demo, I'm going to show you how you can deploy direct access with an IPv4 only environment with no existing certificates. To demonstrate this, we will use a Windows 8 client who will connect over the direct access server to our internal resources. When direct access is configured using the simplified deployment, it automatically creates group policy objects containing the direct access settings, and those are applied to direct access clients and servers. By default, however, this would apply the GPO to all the mobile computers. Since this demo is using virtual machines and we do not have mobile computers, we will have to create a separate security group and apply this in our direct access configuration. We will now create a separate security group and add our direct access client to this group. To do this, I'm going to our domain controller and creating a new group. I'm going to call the direct access group Direct Access Clients. And I'm going to add my computer called Client 1 to this group. Once this group is added, we can now move on with our direct access deployment. The remote access server role in Windows Server 2012 combines direct access feature and the remote access role service into a unified server role. This new remote access server role allows for centralized administration, configuration, and monitoring of both direct access and VPN-based remote access services. We are going to configure direct access on our machine called Lab Edge 1, which is basically our direct access server. For this, I'm opening the Server Manager dashboard and I'm going to add the roles and features required to deploy direct access. By default, we will need the server role remote access, so we have to click here Next, select role-based installation, select the server that where we're going to install this, and by default it is selecting Edge 1, and select the server role. And in this case, we're going to select remote access and accept the default feature. Once the features are selected, we click Next, accept the default with the features, and click Next, and come over to the remote access role. Now within the role, we have the role services, and you will notice that direct access and VPN is selected by default. So we accept this. We're not going to configure anything in terms of IaaS. So we click Next, Next, and confirm the settings and hit Install. Now the direct access role service installation is starting, and this will take some time. The installation goes through the group policy management installation, the routing and remote access server role, the server administration tool, and IaaS. Now that the installation has succeeded, we're going to configure direct access. For this, I'm going to close the wizard and click on Start and select Remote Access Management. Confirm Yes with UAC. Once the UI is opened, by default, we're coming to the configuration screen. So what I'm going to do here is select Run the Getting Starting Wizard, because this is the simplified direct access deployment option. Once I select this, I'll select Deploy Direct Access Only, as for now, I'm not interested in VPN deployment. By default, it's going to check some prerequisites and understand what kind of configuration we have here. Now what I need to do is now put the name of the server, which is going to be the public name which the remote access client will connect to. In this case, it's going to be edge1.contoso.com. And then hit Next. And now you can see that the remote access settings will be applied to a specific group. This is something we want to edit here and actually replace this one with the group that we created earlier. So for this, I'm clicking Edit, go over to the remote access clients and hit Change. And as you can see here, it says enable direct access for mobile computers only. And since we have virtual machines here, we're going to unselect this option. And we don't want to deploy direct access to all our domain computers as of now. So we remove this group and hit Add and type in the group name that we just created earlier, which is Direct Access Clients. Click OK. Click Next. We're not going to edit the Network Connectivity Assistant here and leave it by default. Hit Finish. And then hit OK. And now we're ready to deploy Direct Access on our server. And now we hit Finish. And as you can see, it's going now through some settings and configurations, which will create automatically everything needed in order to deploy direct access for you. You can actually see here that it's generating a self-signed network location certificate on the server, and I'll explain what is that used for later on. It generates group policy, identifies the infrastructure, creates the direct access client policies and updates them accordingly, validates some security groups, which is required for the client and the servers. Once the wizard is finished, we just hit close. And now we're coming to the configuration screen and can confirm that direct access is actually configured. So let's move to the dashboard and confirm that the direct access server is configured properly. As you can see, everything is showing up in green, which means that we have configured direct access successfully. The only thing left is to go on the client and apply these settings. For this, the only thing required is to bring up the client and reboot it while it's connected to the corporate network, which is the case right now. So I'm restarting the machine, and once it's rebooted, it will get the new group policy and new group memberships and should have everything ready to be able to use direct access. So our client is booting. So now we're at the logon screen, and I'm going to just log on to the machine with my domain credentials. Once logged on, I'm going to launch PowerShell command line to run some commands to understand if the direct access configuration settings are applied properly. For this, I'm just going to type PowerShell, run it as administrator, confirm UAC. Once UAC is open, I'm going to run get dash DNS client NRPT policy and check if the client has received the name resolution policy table policy properly. And here you can see that we have actually received the settings properly, because here we have the direct access -nls.corp.contoso.com machine listed. And if you go a little bit higher, we can see the direct access DNS service IP address in IPv6 and the namespace, which means for any query going to corp.contoso.com, we're going to use this IPv6 DNS server address. The other command that I would like to run is called get dash NCSI policy configuration, which should give us the network connectivity status indicator settings deployed by the wizard when we run the direct access server configuration. Two URLs that you're seeing at the bottom, the domain location determination URL and the corporate website probe URL, are used for different things. The domain location determination URL is used to understand if the client is on the internet or inside the corporate network. And the corporate website probe URL is used to understand if our corporate direct access connection is working properly. The other settings we haven't discussed yet, so I'll leave them out for now, but I'll cover them in a later module. Now that we have confirmed that the settings are properly configured, let's confirm that direct access is actually working. For that, I'm going to type in get DA connection status to see the status of the connection. And in this case, as expected, it's showing status connecting locally, which means we are inside of our corporate domain. Now, what I'm going to simulate is to move the client out to the internet by going in the Hyper-V settings and selecting the interface called Internet. I hit OK, and now my client is moved to the internet. I'll hit No because I don't want to turn on sharing here, and give direct access a little bit of time to come up and configure itself. Just to let you know, on the internet network, I have a server which is running as DHCP and providing public IPv4 addresses to the client, and also a public DNS server which will be able to give the capability to the client to resolve the external name of the direct access server. Now that we move the client to the internet, let's run the same command and see if direct access is working properly. And now you can see that when running the same command, get DA connection status, the status is now changed to connected remotely, which means direct access is now working. And we can confirm this from the UI as well. If you click on the bottom right corner, and we will notice that there is a workplace connection and it says connected. This means that our direct access connection is working properly. Let's ping the ISP's website and understand if our internet connection is working properly. For this, I'm going to run a simple ping command to inet1.isp.example.com. And as you can see, I'm getting a reply from a public IP address 131.107.0.1, which is a public internet server. What I'm going to do now is to ping a machine which is sitting inside of my corporate network. And for this, I'm going to ping app1, which is an internal IIS server, corp.contoso.com, and hit enter. Note the format of the IPv6 address returned. Since we did not deploy any IPv6 on our internal network, the dynamically created NAT64 address of app1 is returned. And the dynamically created prefix assigned by direct access server for NAT64 will be in the form FDXXX, and at the end you can see the 7777 and with the prefix of /96. So right now we have actually connectivity to our internal resources over direct access using IPv6. So let's confirm this from the Internet Explorer. For this, I'm going to open Internet Explorer and then type in http://app1.contoso.com and hit enter. And as you can see, the default IIS website is getting opened. Let's confirm the same by accessing a file share on the same server. For this, I'm running run --app1/files and hit enter. And as you can see, I can access a file share on my internal server and access a file, which is example. And this is a shared file. Now that we have seen that the connection is working properly, let's go into PowerShell command line and run a couple of commands to see what kind of IP address configuration we have received. For this, I'm going to type in get netip configuration -all -detailed and hit enter. And now it's going to populate all the IP address configuration that we have on the client in terms of IPv4 and IPv6. So now let's see what kind of IP address we have. We have the computer name, we have the adapters, and the first IP address we see is a link local address, which has not too much to do with our direct access connectivity. Apparently we have a public IPv4 address, which is 131.107.0.100. If you go further down, we will notice that there is an interface now called IP-HTTPS and that we have an IPv6 address configured with this IP interface. Now, what we can do is run a specific command to get more information about the IP-HTTPS interface. And for this, I'm just going to run get -net IP-HTTPS configuration and hit enter. And this will give us more information about our IP-HTTPS interface. And in this case, you can see the setting that was applied by group policy directly to the client, and which is basically our IP-HTTPS URL and reflects our direct access server's name and the IP/HTTPS connection. Now we've seen that we have internal connectivity and the interface configuration, let's move on a little bit and move to the IPsec portion. For this, I'm launching the Windows Firewall MMC and to see what kind of rules that we have applied. Let's expand monitoring and go to the connection security rules, which will basically contain what we have in terms of IPsec rules configured. Now, as you can see, we have three rules here, which are configured automatically. We did not have to do this manually. And if we go down to the security associations, we will see that we have main mode and quick mode security associations, which is basically our IPsec connection to the direct access server. If we go back to the main mode, you might notice that for the first authentication method, we have computer Kerberos, and for the second authentication method, user Kerberos. And also that we don't have any certificate-based authentication. This is only possible because of a feature that was introduced in Server 2012, which is called Kerberos Proxy. And this was deployed by the Direct Access Wizard when we run through the setup. Now that we have seen the client side of the connectivity, let's move on to the server and confirm the same. For this, I'm going to open up the Direct Access server again, and this time I'm going to click on Remote Client Status to get an overview about the connectivity. And here you can see that we have a Direct Access client, we have some information about the username, the host name, what kind of protocol it's using, the duration of the communication, and some access details at the bottom, what port it is using, what kind of IP address it's connected to, and on the right hand side you have even more details around how many bytes it transferred in and out, when did the connection start, and what kind of authentication it's using. And if you double click actually on the client one, you will get more details about the connectivity and can see what and where and when the client connected to the Direct Access server. So this is basically how you deploy direct access in a simplified deployment method. As you saw, we did not require any changes to our infrastructure and could easily apply direct access with a few clicks. Thank you for taking time to view this content.